Hey. Verse 17. We're going to study 17 and 18. The whole idea of we spend a lot of time in verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. A mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And that, remember, that all has to do with I don't know how to describe it, but condescend is this word that means it's not that you really do anything, but you undo you, and you therefore are in the flow. It's the log flowing down a rushing river. Remember when we studied the part of the name of Jesus is Yeshua. And Yesh, it comes from the word, partly from the word Yesh, which means it's the process that happens when a dam is broken. Because you've gotten, let's say it's a dam that you don't want. And that, if there's a log jam, and then you get rid of the thing that's the blockage, then the yesh is what happens. Well, condescend is related to that in regard to that. It's you let what happens, and you. The Bible calls it the great transgression, and the prayer of in many is let me be free or out of or away from or of the great transgression. And the great transgression is self-seeking, self-realization. And so once the propensity towards self-realization can be gone, and it's gone because you see the emptiness and futility of the best that you can conceive of, then yesh takes place. And so Jesus is Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. It's the one that causes that kind of freedom and safety and everything else. And so the condescending is not this act of humility by some decision or will worship. It's an act of knowledge that you have found out that everything else is crap. So there's no, the only way, when you find out that everything else is vain and empty and futile, then that's the only time real repentance is possible, and therefore that's the only time being born again is possible. It's the only time you can ever accept your death. It's the only time you can know that Jesus Christ is in you. And so when that happens, then all of this stuff is automatic. And it's the automatic of being out of time and space and in the first source, in eternity. No more searching for something or trying to be, or it's the yesh of what happens. What?
Yeah. Amen. It's that word yesterday about the log.
That's condescend.
Yeah, and it's they're all one and the same. Dam is there, and the log's trying to get through.
And the dam is you and I. The dam is our trying to get it. The dam is trying to do it. The dam is trying to understand it. The dam is all of these crazy things.
Opinions, thinking. Yeah.
That's all, and really all of those, every aspect of self-realization or self-fulfillment is it's the act of the curse or the fruit of the curse. All right. You know what? I'll just read it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I want to talk about what this peaceably means and peace means. The best way to describe peace is it's the eye of a hurricane. And you, as a believer, because it's the hurricane is caused by intense low pressure, you know, and so that's intense emptiness or intense humility. In that eye of the hurricane, you move with the hurricane, so you're never out of peace. So that's really what the word peace means. It's not the absence of activity; it's the most intense activity that's conceivable, but it doesn't affect you because you are inside of it.
And in that moment.
Yeah, it's all in the eternal now.
Right.
Yeah, you move away, and that, so therefore, the real idea of peace is being seated on the mercy seat. That's peace, because he is peace. He doesn't give you life. He is life. He doesn't show you the way. He is the way. You know, he doesn't tell you the truth. He is the truth. He doesn't give you peace. He is the peace. And that place of that all is on the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat, there's perfect peace, and you're in the will and the way and everything. You know, it's like above all, you know, the scripture that, I did it again. Would you close those upwards?
I'll do it right this time.
No, that's right. You did it wrong.
You told me I did it right yesterday.
She did it.
He just does these things to whipsaw us.
You fell for
that? So just don't even pay much attention.
Before I was so rudely interrupted, what was I about to say?
How important it was to study meteorology, right?
Meteorology?
No, I didn't say that. Let's go to a familiar verse. Go to Luke. Luke 2:14.
Just failing. Luke what?
Luke 2. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we sing that song, Peace on earth, goodwill toward man, blah, 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 blah. But that's not what it says. It says the goodwill of God towards men, which is the Messiah, is the only peace on earth. The goodwill of God toward men, which is Messiah, is the only peace on earth. So, can you see how that relates to everything we've said about eyes of hurricanes and on mercy seats and all that? So, we have these romantic ideas of, we sing these stupid songs and we get our theology from the songs, and it's, I mean, Harry even gets his theology from popular music, and it's just goofy, and it's because it's the culture of what we've grown up in, and so we are blinded by that cultural, and so every year we sing, you know, and you get 15 cards that say peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
You gotta see through that. You told me something once that about song. Every song is fundamentally the longing for Christ and the bride, and that's what I hear when I, you know, talk about popular music. The theme and the desire and the longing is there, and the people write it, and they don't even know what they're writing about, but it's all...
I know, but it's like, that's like Joel Osteen. He'd make a very good spiritual kindergarten teacher. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child.
What do you got against kids?
Nothing, unless they're 58 years old. How old are you?
65. But I'm getting there. I'm growing up.
All right. The word in Hebrew for peace, of course, is shalom. And it means the freedom from disturbance, whether outwardly or inwardly, in the soul. And it's considered to be the true state of prosperity. There's this great... The reporter for the New York Times is writing a piece about the Grassley stuff. And so he wanted to know, you know, because they always, when he's interviewed a couple of them, and they always give him the proof texts. And the proof, let's look, this is kind of interesting. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm on a rant today or something. I don't know what's going on. But I'm just going to go with it.
Yes. Chapter 8 or chapter 9?
Chapter 8, verse 18. This is the proof text for Copeland and Prosperity Gospel, Benny Hinn, everybody.
You mean like their mission statement?
Proof text. It means that's what they use to say that their theology is right. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now that word is, the wealth there is Chayil, C-H-A-I-L. L-Y-I-L, or some weird spelling that I can't ever remember. And it's used over something 200 and some times in the Bible, and 10 times it's related to this word wealth. But it really just means, you know, it means to complete a thing is what it means.
Like prosperity thing.
But here's the funny part. That verse 18 is a verse that is correcting them, because in verse 17 it says, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth." In other words, it's putting everything back on God. It's not justifying wealth. You understand that?
Or attempts, whether religious or whatever.
Yeah. And so now the other proof text they always use is second or third John. Go. It's one of those other Johns. Touch your neighbor when you get
touch
there.
Touch your neighbor. Somebody let me out a little bit. Let me know. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. That verse.
Yeah, it's 3 John.
There's a 3 John?
That's a shorty.
If I was going to memorize the whole book of the Bible, that's the one that I would memorize.
You can write a song by the 3 John. John?
We have too damn many Johns in this group anyway.
Straight up.
That's why we're going to start calling some of them Jack. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, first of all, that was a common, ordinary saying at the time of the Bible, and it's like we would say bon voyage, have a good journey. And it's what literally it means is.
Well, what's shaking, and then you interpolate from that God wants us to shake, something like that.
Yeah, but here's the incredible meaning, the deeper meaning of prosper. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The word prosper is E-U-O-D-O-S, euodos. And it comes from two words, E-U, which means good or the best or the purpose of and all that kind of thing, and hodos, which is the word for the way. And so it means that may you have a completed journey, no matter how straight the way gets. And in the natural, it means I don't care how many storms are on the Mediterranean Sea and how many shipwrecks, I pray that you make it to Rome safely. But here it has the higher meaning. I wish that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. It means that may you stay in this mystery of the way, you hodos, because that is the way, may you stay in it, that is the peace, may you stay in it, that is the life, may you stay in it, that is the truth, may you stay in it, or in him. And so they take this, and now it's to justify greed. That's the church in America today has been hijacked by greed. And it's the antithesis. It's not just different, it's the opposite of the gospel. All right, that's enough of the rant.
You just described the word fool for me. Because a fool would read that and just delight in the fact, oh boy, now here it is, there's proof. I can go out and
they got a loophole.
And I'm justified in doing that. That's a fool.
They found a loophole. I mean, it sounds like they went through the index and looked up the word prosper and wealth and said, let's look up and see what we got and what verses we can use.
Go to Job 22.
I've been stupid.
Thank God.
Well, that's not the point, though. I mean, you're out of it.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Can I get a page on? Oh, never mind.
592.
Okay, Gary, read verse 21.
All right, 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee.
Okay. In Isaiah 26, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Actually, in Hebrew it says, thou wilt keep him in peace. It's that doubling. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee.
That's what I say every night when I go to sleep.
Peace?
No. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on
thee. Now, without exception, and we could study it for the next week, the prominent feature of the days of Messiah, most prominent feature is peace. But hear me. This is why these little words are so important. 99.999% of the people that say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. But that's not what it says. It says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So all heresy has as its root on instead of in. Do you understand? You got to see that, because we'll never have peace on earth. Like Jesus said it, I came not to bring peace but a sword. But we must, if there isn't peace in earth, then for you the days of Messiah have not come. You're still waiting for something to happen. Oh, that just proves the rebellion. That's why the night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years. You see that in its grand simplicity? You're doing something again, Gary.
I'm seeing it. It's the maze of things that your mind tries to engage you in and complicate your life and your thoughts are destroyed and dispelled in that one thought.
Okay, I'm going to see, test all the Bible scholars now. Somebody to go to Micah 4.
Wow.
Carolyn ain't even trying.
Carolyn ain't even trying.
I got it.
Of course you did.
Hallelujah.
He's taking over the ministry of Ronnie.
Yeah, really.
Where is it?
Read verse 3.
Can we get a page? 962.
I love this.
And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Okay. Again, that's a prophecy of the days of Messiah. They shall beat their plow swords into plowshares. And their what? Into pruning?
Their spears into pruning hooks.
And their spears into pruning hooks. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Every peace agreement or something that goes on with regard to the Middle East, every time somebody has to read that scripture. They shall beat their... And look what's happening. It doesn't happen. But for his people, whose mind is stayed on him, internally they no longer use their swords to the weapon of cutting somebody up, but they use it as a digging instrument internally into plowshares to find out the source of this bitterness they have towards somebody or something. And pruning hook is the idea that the spears are no longer used as a weapon against somebody else. Now they're used as a pruning hook to prune off the branches or the vines that aren't producing fruit within you. It has nothing to do with this external. There'll never be peace on earth. They're never going to beat their swords into plowshares. It's all talking about the difference between peace on earth and peace in earth. The will of God in earth as it is in heaven. You got it? So you do it subconsciously. You read those scriptures and you do it, and they say, well, my God, that's not happening. So it either creates in you this pure rebellion, which is, well, I don't have to worry about it because everybody is still in this other state, or it creates in you the idea that you dismiss scripture. You understand what happens? So it's also in Isaiah 2:4 and Joel 3:10 about beating their swords into plowshares. But it's all about this mystery of like-minded people that are one in him, And they don't try to love, but if you're begotten of him, you automatically love the others that are begotten of him. You don't try to be nice. You don't try to shake somebody's hand. You don't try to go touch your neighbor or whatever you do. It's you just be. Because otherwise, the minute, the split, the nanosecond that you try to be, you've put on the Babylonian garment instead of him. Well, you're just out of the, you're back in this place of no peace and walking in the sparks that you have kindled. And continue, and it just creates massive hypocrisy. You're doing it again, Gary. You're just, you just well, leave.
So much to do. So much to do.
I think about Harry and his weakened state. We talked this morning about that. His, for me, maybe others, his weakness has meant more to me than all the strength he ever exhibited, all the fine statements he ever came up with. And I was thinking about that, that weakness means when you're with somebody and they're weak, you don't have to defend or guard or anything. It generates something. This Yeshua, it allows freedom. And each time I've seen him, the same thing comes through, that in weakness, God's strength is made perfect. So any strength.
You and I are seeing two different things when we see him. I see a wuss that keeps trying to justify himself.
You got to see through that. That's his weakness.
In fact, somebody, I can't, I'm too out of it here to go down there. Will somebody?
I'm planning to go.
Will you go this morning right away? That'd be good.
Yeah.
He expects somebody about now, and I'm just so.
I'm sure. You might like a morning off.
No. It's important because that gives Carolyn the. It, whether or not he can have any visitors or not. So. All right. Go to Luke 19. This is when Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. Let's start. Verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh, in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now thine eyes, they are hid from thine eyes. And that's the same thing that he's weeping over you. If you had only known the things that belong to thy peace. Amen?
Yeah, that's a good connection there. Because he is the peace.
And let's go to one more. Mark, we'll, and we'll quit for today. Mark 9:50. Well, let's just read the one verse. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Now, the salt is always a metaphor for the component of eternity. And that's why it says, let your speech be salted with salt. Because if you are not, that's why, you probably haven't noticed, but some of you might have noticed how much I hate small talk. You know, it just drives me crazy because it's not salted with salt. Let your speech be salted with salt, the component of eternity, and everything you say and think. And then, and the implication in this is then you will have peace. Because out of the fullness of your heart, your mouth speaks. So when you go on this crap about blah, 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 just to make yourself feel good or have some feeding frenzy and somebody else's misfortune, then I don't know. Believe it or not, I used to be very good at small talk because I was a politician. I could go and smooch the crowd. And I just despise it in me and in everybody. I mean, because of this thing. Let your speech be salted with salt. Let it have the component of eternity in whatever you say, whatever you think. Because that keeps you on this mercy seat. That keeps you in Him. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that obedience of Christ is everything He says as the component of eternity. And that's probably enough for today. What?
A lot of campaigning would evaporate if it were salted.
Just like slugs do. They melt when you put salt on them.
We're talking about stuff last night, and someone was telling a story about drinking wine, and how a lot of spiritual churches and that don't go for this wine drinking stuff. And they said to this one guy said about, well, Jesus drank wine. The guy says, yeah, that's one thing I don't like about him.
Who are you talking to?
People. We were having a glass of
wine.
That's one thing I don't like about Jesus.
That was his story.
Wrong to pick with Jesus.
Think on these things. Meditate. The true meaning of meditation. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything? Mr. Kevin? You didn't have any quips this morning? No puns from the punster, Mr. Jeff?
No, don't even solicit. Please.
This is the only time you'll ever hear me solicit a pun.
He's caught without
I think he's got one there, but he's afraid to say it.
He's trying to get out.
I'm reserving myself for only big talk.
Big talk instead of small talk.
Take a big guy.
You asked for it. That's what Carol was.
And you're gonna go see Harry instead of me, right? Tell him I'm real dizzy.